It's 10 a.m.
Wake up time!
And you're listening to Utah's most listened to sports radio show. This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G. Presented by WCF Insurance. Reminding you to be careful out there. On 97.5 1280 The Zone in the Zone Sports Network.
.97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Hans Olsen, Scott Girard, hope you're all well. Hey, buddy, how you doing?
Man, how do you think I'm doing, Scotty? Getting to talk a little bit of sports with my best buddy and hanging out at one of my favorite places. And we got Jake Hatch back in the booth. And
so we have a little positivity back there for once?
Yeah, he's pressing the buttons and making the world turn. And we got Johnny Lightfoot, our best friend. Fantastic musician, great talent, right next to us with a big smile. The sun's out. We got beautiful clouds, snow-capped mountains. Life is just at its peak, man. Like, it is at its peak. We're getting ready for a fantastic weekend of college football, a huge weekend of NFL football, the NBA. We are 7 days, exactly 1 week away from today, from the Utah Jazz tipping off the 2021-22
wow,
season.
Wow, that's right, yep. Like, and in 48 hours, I'm going to be in Vegas.
Are you dancing? You are dancing.
No, I'm not dancing.
Are you going to Vegas to dance?
No.
In the late 90s, there was a dance club there called The Drink that was it had more to do with keeping hydrated than anything.
Oh, really? I'm big on Gatorade and water.
It was all about the Gatorade.
Yeah.
And that used to be a fun place to go and shimmy. Do the shimmy.
So what was your, like, go-to move? Like, were you a robot or the sprinkler?
It was very spastic. I can't even, like, really replicate it, but there was some jumping involved. And it's a 300-pound body that is, running high knees.
Those were your larger days.
Yeah. It's like 300-pounder, running high knees and flailing arms, looking like I scored a touchdown against San Diego State. Like, it's
with your arms in the air like you just don't care.
Yeah. It's not very dissimilar from what you saw in that video. It is very attention grabbing.
Here's the thing. If you just, for all you kids out there, you just have a little bit of confidence. Go out there. You can Elaine this thing all you want. You'll be just fine. Just go have some fun.
That's true, man.
That's why I tell my kids all the time. Like, so what if you suck at something? Go out there, show a little confidence, be willing to laugh at yourself.
Yeah, don't be embarrassed by it.
Don't be embarrassed by it. Just go out and have some fun, and you're going to be fine.
What I want to do?
What? You know what I want to do? Strut.
This is Scotty walking into the Las Vegas club.
I just hope to be strutting out of a poker room. That's all I'm hoping to do.
What's up, mama?
Was this like your eighth time to Vegas in the last month?
Yeah, it's been a lot of time in Vegas. Although I got the hotel confirmation on where we're staying, and it's not a casino, and that bummed me out a little bit.
It's not the South Point, huh?
No. Basketball usually is South Point. Football needs a little bit more meeting rooms and things like that.
So I'm a little bit surprised. I kind of thought you had chilled on Vegas a bit.
Okay, I'm a big talker now. Like, I like the idea, and then I get down there, and I'm like,
I want to go home.
I want to go home. I want to hug my kids.
I want to tell my family that I love them and I'm committed to them.
Yeah.
I want to do better.
I did at the end of the coaches show last night. Blake Anderson, who, by the way, if you're not listening to Blake Anderson interviews, you're missing out. The dude is gold.
He really is good.
He really is gold.
You can ask him about anything.
Oh, whatever. Mm-hmm. And he's fine with whatever you want to ask him, whatever direction you want to go. And last night I said, hey, at the end of it, like, hey, let's go down there and get a W and see if you can get a W on the table. He's like, oh, I don't have time for that. He goes, but don't make no mistake, I am down for the tables.
Just not right now.
Just not on this one.
Yeah.
But other times, it's on.
He's pretty busy right now.
Yeah. But you're right. Look, hey, what a weekend we got. You got Utah up against a huge Pac-12 South Division foe if they win this, they'll have wins against USC. They'll have wins against Arizona State. And, hey, that South Division title is right there for the taking. You got BYU with a huge game on the road against Grimey and Baylor. I thought you'd be amused by that. And then you got Utah State taking on UNLV in Vegas.
Oh, man. What are we going to do about that?
Did I just put you in a bad
mood? Yeah.
Oh.
I was doing so good.
Oh, man.
I was doing so good. You know, I'm not going to let some
for the Utes, and the Zone Sports Network is getting you ready for kickoff. Hey, hey. The Utes return to Rice-Eccles Stadium for a big Pac-12 showdown against Arizona State. As the Utes hope to keep their dreams of a Pac-12 title alive, listen all week for your chance to win tickets to the game. And then catch the Ute pregame show Saturday at 7, with the postgame show immediately following the game. Ah! From Monday morning to the postgame press conference. Nobody brings you better coverage of Ute football.
You ready?
Yeah!
Than 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
You know, it's actually, sometimes there's blessings in disguises. And I had led you down a path that might get you in a little bit of trouble. And just like that, our equipment said, nope, I'm going to save you both from the two of you.
From a meeting.
Yes.
And hurting people's feelings.
And so that was actually, you know what? We don't like when we drop like that, but this might have been a good thing.
So what segment of the show starts at noon today?
What segment of the show starts at noon today?
Yeah.
That is your Cougar preview show.
Cougar preview show, buddy. So we've got a lot of Cougar talk, but that means we start Utes.
Let's do it. Starting lineup right now.
This is Hans and Scotty G.
Let's go!
And now it's time to kick off the show with the biggest topic of the day. This is the starting lineup. Starting lineup on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Starting lineup right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. As we continue to get you ready for the start of what should be a fun weekend of college football, Hans.
It's going to be a fun weekend. It's going to be an amazing weekend. And I don't know if in the state, and I know you've got the BYU-Baylor game, but this Utah-Arizona State game is equally as big, where Utah has an opportunity to stay right in the conference race, and they've got to take on what I think right now is the biggest game of the year.
Yeah.
And the toughest team in the Pac-12 right now, at least that's the way it feels with Arizona State. So I was looking at some numbers that, you know, we were just getting ready for, and sorry, I'm just looking for all of my, I'm looking through my load of notes that I've got here, and I'm looking for my BYU Arizona State notes because I was going to go back and review a couple of things. But I was looking at some of the USC-ASU comparables. All right, let's go through a couple of these because we just got ready for that Utah-USC game.
Yeah.
And USC is good in a couple of categories. But when it comes to the main statistics and the main categories, USC was only better in one category, Scotty, and that was passing offense. So USC checked in at number 20 in passing offense, and we saw it against Utah.
Yeah.
They've got the best receiver in college football.
Without question.
Absolutely the best. And he was lights out. And they've got just enough around them that they can get that ball downfield, and they've got just enough options on the offensive side of the ball that it keeps people honest. And USC throws the ball well. But listen to this. So Arizona State, Scotty, is better in rushing the ball. They're number 25 in the country. They're over 220 yards a game. They're better in rushing defense. They're number 34 in the country. They only give 116 yards up on the ground per game. They're better in passing defense. Do you know Arizona State's passing defense right now is number 21 ranked?
Oh.
They only give up 180 yards through the air in a game. Their offensive line is about the same as USC. They're each giving up about a sack a game. USC and Arizona State both give up about a sack a game. But when it comes to sacking a quarterback, Arizona State is number 10 in the country right now in sacks per game at 3.5 sacks per game. They are getting after the quarterback. They've got a couple of 310, 320-pound beefy dudes in the middle that push the pocket, and they've got a couple of guys on the outside that run their job that have some really good just outside speed rushing, and they get to the quarterback. USC checked in at 103 in the country in sacks per game at just 1.5 sacks per game. So Arizona State doubles their production in the pass rush game. They double their production on the ground in the rushing game. They almost cut their opponent's production on the ground in half compared to USC. Arizona State is not even, right now, what we've seen from USC is not even comparable to USC. This is a much, much better team than what Utah just saw.
Yeah, light years better.
Across the board.
Honestly, yes. I think you bring up the point of the wide receiver. Outside of him, there's not a lot of players that USC, that Arizona State would say, yeah, we want that guy. Because Arizona State's really good. And the more they play, the more that BYU win over them looks really good.
Yep.
So, yeah, Utah's got their hands full. There is no doubt about that. And Cam Rising played really well, but he played well against a defense that's had its struggles. This defense against Arizona State is not going to struggle against Utah. Utah's going to have to earn everything they can get against this team.
And there's a couple things that I hope that we see from what we saw Utah do against USC last week. So we go into that game and we saw Utah's offensive front, along with Tavian Thomas, along with those tight ends, and then along with the starting five, the front five, we saw them take a huge hike in production.
Correct.
So let's take a look at a couple of things from USC's defense. So going into that game, Scotty, USC's defense was allowing about 100 and, let's see, what was it? They were allowing about 130, I don't know, there it is, rushing defense. They were allowing about 150 yards a game on the ground. So USC's defense, their rushing defense, wasn't lights out. Their passing defense was allowing about 220 yards a game. And then I talked about their inability to get the sack, only 1.5 sacks per game. So I don't know. And then their as far as their defense goes and making big plays, they were almost dead last in the country in tackles for a loss, in causing disruption behind the offensive line. So with what we know of USC's defense, their defensive front, their aggressiveness at the quarterback, their ability to make big plays in the backfield, I'm not saying that everything that we saw from Utah's offensive front was a false front. I'm just saying don't let that get you overcompetent or overconfident.
Yeah.
About how you played against USC, and we're just going to go against Arizona State, and that's just how it's going to be.
Yeah, no, it's apples and oranges. You're right.
It's apples and oranges.
Yeah.
And I watched that Arizona State front, and BYU, as you mentioned, did get the win against Arizona State, but I watched them. They are very dominant. They're very physical, and it's going to be a much different game for the University of Utah. With that being said, to the Utah fans that are tuning in wondering how this thing's going to play out, I have always felt like Utah's front is capable against any defensive front. It wasn't about the physical errors. Now, there were some technique. There were some base technique issues where I was watching offensive linemen step underneath themselves and turn their hips and just try to run a defensive lineman when they know they've got to slide their feet and stay in front of that defensive lineman. I mean, just the simple little things that we've seen. And running backs that do try to take an edge and somehow end up on a big. There were mess-ups where you had offensive linemen sliding the middle linebackers and having a big come straight down the pipe untouched and a running back having to take on a big. Like, those things to me aren't as much physical as they are. Somebody's either the play calling or the mic adjustment or whatever it is was leading to some mismatches and some big issues for Utah's front. Those things need to change because if they can be on the right mental page, I think physically they can keep up with Arizona State.
I do too.
I don't think they're going to be out-physicaled against Arizona State.
Would this be a conversation we would have had in late August? Can Utah be as physical as Arizona State? No. I mean, we thought, absolutely. That's Utah's MO.
100%.
We felt very confident about both sides of the ball in terms of the trenches.
Yes.
That wasn't an issue. Now we've seen games where they've struggled against really physical teams. I mean, San Diego State may be a Mountain West team, but that's as physical as any team out there. BYU has this high level of physicality, which we've seen, and that gave Utah fits in that game. But I do think Utah is starting to get right in that regard. You heard Kyle Whittingham yesterday talk about he feels like his offensive line, finally, they feel like they've got a little bit of cohesion in that unit to the point where they're not thinking and you don't have a guy going, am I going to get pulled if I make a mistake? They're out there reacting, and that increases your level of physicality. It's like what you were talking about with Hassan Whiteside. Mm-hmm. You know, the less you have to think, the more you can just
play. Dang right. You've been there.
Yeah,
from
absolutely.
The time you were a freshman in high school to the time you were a senior in high school. Yeah, your body grows and your muscles change and you start to build the explosive muscles in the core and those things help you.
But, yeah, that never really happened. But
it did. But you know, from being a freshman to being a senior, all of a sudden you're just taking the right steps and those right steps are putting you where you need to be, 100%. The other thought I had was Arizona State in back-to-back weeks beat a UCLA team that we started to build some expectations for and then beat a Stanford team that we started to build some expectations for and beat them both by double scores. That's where they're at right now. They're riding a momentum train, and we did talk about that loss to BYU. BYU held them to 17 points, and the way BYU did that, in large part, the way BYU did that was holding Jaden Daniels to 8 yards rushing.
Yes.
Keeping Jaden Daniels in the pocket. Not letting him get outside of the pocket, not letting him do work outside of the pocket. Jaden Daniels had nearly 80 yards on the ground and a touchdown against Stanford. Scotty, last week. Nearly 80 yards and a touchdown on the ground against Stanford. And then against UCLA, he was able to get outside the pocket for 50 yards.
So BYU's the only team that's really kept him in check.
Oh, yeah. Because Jaden Daniels went 6 carries for 50 yards, an average of 7.5 yards a carry against UCLA.
I mean, he's the second leading rusher on that team, averaging 61 yards a game.
And BYU held him to 8 yards rushing.
Yeah, so his rushing totals on the season, 40, 125, 8, BYU, 75, 45, 76.
Give them to me again. What was the first one?
First one was against Southern Utah. He didn't play a lot in that game. He had 6 carries, 40 yards. Yeah. Against UNLV, 13 carries, 125 yards.
Yep.
Against BYU, 10 carries, 8 yards. Then against Colorado, 7 carries, 75. UCLA, 6, 45. Stanford, 13, 76.
Yep. So that makes a difference. And I haven't done all the homework on this, but I'll bet if you go back and look at 2, maybe 3 carries per game after that BYU game, 2, maybe 3 of those carries either led to a touchdown or a conversion on third down.
Mm-hmm.
That's the difference.
Yeah.
It's not just about his rushing yards. It's about when he puts rushing yards on the field. crunch moments when you absolutely it's clutch. It's a continuation of a drive. It extends a drive. It extends, and that's just his rushing yards, not to mention his ability to escape pocket, extend the pocket, and then throw down the field. BYU did a good job of stopping that too. They forced him into the pocket. They forced him to make a throw off of a three-step decision instead of letting him work his magic. He's extremely athletic. And to Elisa Tuiaki's credit and that BYU defense's credit, they did a great job of corralling him. And Utah's got to do the same. But you know Utah's defensive coaches are familiar with BYU's defensive coaches. Very familiar.
Yeah.
You know, Morgan Scalley at one point was the coordinator with Elisa Tuiaki as the defensive line coach. You know, at one point, Morgan Scalley was on a staff that had Kalani Sitake as the defensive coordinator. Those guys, it's all intertwined. So I'm sure that they're looking at that plan and thinking to themselves, what exactly did they do? How much of it was them and how much of it was Jaden? Was Jaden off his game, not feeling like rushing, or was BYU really just keeping him in the pocket? But that was the difference. And Utah's got to find a way to do the same.
So coming up again today at 12, it'll be your Cougar preview show. We'll talk BYU football from 12 to 2 as they get set for a big one against Baylor. Also coming up a little bit later on in the program, we continue to talk Utah, Utah State, Jazz with their final preseason game coming up. And the regular season, folks, just 1 week from today. I love it, man.
It's going to go quick, too. We're going to be talking about next week. We've got our Utah Jazz season over-unders that we're going to be putting together. That's how close we are.
This starting lineup brought to you by Peach Windows, Utah's premier window and door retailer, combining beauty and technology on windows and doors since 1993. Call them today for your free in-home estimate, 801-566-1255. That's 801-566-1255. Hanging out today, we are live here at our good friends at Tim Daly Nissan in Murray, 4528 South State Street. Johnny has got the prize table ready to go. If you want to come by and pick up some Jazz gear with the season just 1 week away, we will get you squared away. So just come by, grab something, and let's go. Let's have some fun today. Check out these vehicles. They've got 14 models with 0% financing, from the Altima to the Titan, from the Sentra to the Murano. You name it, you can get it for 0% financing, and everything comes with that forever warranty as well. Which, it's forever. It means as long as you own it, that car is covered. As many miles you want to put on it, it's covered. And it's only down here at Tim Daly Nissan in Murray. 4528 South State Street. This is 97.5, 1280 The Zone.
It's game week for the Cougars. And the Zone Sports Network is getting you ready for kickoff.
It ain't over till it's over.
It's a trip to the Lone Star State for the Cougars as BYU heads to Waco for a massive showdown against Baylor as the Cougars look to knock off a future Big 12 opponent. Catch the Cougar pregame show Saturday at 12:30 with the postgame show immediately following the game. From Monday morning to the postgame press conference, nobody brings you better coverage of Cougar football than 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Hans and Scotty here on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. The song. So last night I'm going up to Logan and our good buddy Ajay. It does a show on a radio station up there. And so I was listening. He's like, Ajay, I don't know what kind of bubble he grew up in. And I love the dude. Like, he's one of my favorite dudes on the planet. But he's like, you know who I've been listening to is really good is Tom Petty. It's like, Tom Petty, who is this guy? He's really good.
What?
Wait, isn't Ajay our age?
A little bit. Not quite, but he's in his, you know, he's 35, 36. And he's like, this Tom Petty's really good. There's some really good music there. And then they were talking about some halftime Super Bowl show. He's like, you know who needs to do halftime at the Super Bowl? Tom Petty.
Oh, no. No. Oh, no. New band
Led Zeppelin. So I had to text him. I'm like, hey, buddy, Tom Petty's not with us.
Oh, man.
I was dying.
Oh, man, Ajay.
Ajay, no. Stick to
sadly not with us because that guy was an entertainer.
Great, which I'm glad that he's discovered Tom Petty at his advanced age, but
not going to be doing a Super Bowl anytime soon.
And then he goes, well, you know who else is I really like? that I grew up listening with my parents to the Beach Boys. Let's see if they can. I'm like, there's not a lot of Beach Boys left either.
No, they.
You got to stop, man. Just
do a little work, do a little homework before you start talking about these performers. They're going quick. Some of them are going quick. Like, I still think it's an absolute shame we didn't get a halftime with Chris Cornell.
Yeah.
It 100% should have happened. And it should have been, being able to reunite with Soundgarden, reunite with Audioslave, and then maybe do a mix of Rage Against the Machine, because that was Audioslave's band, and doing a mix. I can't remember where Soundgarden's band. Where did Soundgarden's band go when he left Soundgarden to go to Audioslave? Soundgarden went with somebody. Oh, I thought they were something.
I'm not sure on that one.
Like Velvet Revolver or something? Maybe
no,
not.
That was Guns N' Roses.
That was Guns N' Roses. So it's a bummer, man, because some of these guys are going way too soon, and they would be so good for halftime. I love Ajay.
So I really need to pull that whole segment for you. I need to go find it. I'm sure they've
would we
got
be, it. Would we be okay to play it on our show?
I think so. We just attribute it to where it came from. I think it'd be okay, but
it needs to happen.
Oh man, it was. I was in my car, like, just I couldn't. I was laughing so hard I could barely send out the text to him, like, "Hey, buddy."
How long did you let it go before you sent the text?
Oh, I let it go a long time. Yeah, no. Talking about, like, oh, this Tom Petty is really good. I listened to a song of his the other day, and I had no idea. I this guy's great. I hope he pumps out more music.
Man.
It's like,
Ajay.
It's like, hey, we landed on the moon.
Well, I've had a few of those moments. I can understand that.
This is Jim Morrison.
So, Scotty.
These Beatles are great, man. She loves you. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I need more of that.
Oh, man. You got to love Ajay.
I do. I'm sorry. And it's going to get back to Ajay. He's going to get his feet. Look, we love you, Ajay. Nothing but love, man.
Are you guys driving down to Vegas together?
No.
Oh,
no.
He's going separate?
He's, yeah. I'm not sure how he's getting down there.
Otherwise, that's going to be an awkward conversation.
Like, hey.
But every time we talk Ajay, like, let's talk statistical and strategic punting.
Situational punting.
Every time we do that, I know he gets a text or something.
Yeah, like, somebody's going to blow up his phone, and he's going to be mad, and he's going to yell at me a little bit.
Somebody already texted him in this group, I can tell you that much.
Is Ajay doing all right?
What was that, Jake? Sorry.
I may or may not have already sent him a text message about our conversation. Just to tell him, like, dude, Tom Petty, really? Come on now.
He's doing good.
Good.
The new play-by-play voice of the Utah State women's basketball team.
Someday we need to do like a Hollywood, e-Hollywood true story about Ajay and include all the crazy things that have happened.
He was very concerned about John Gruden because he felt like, you know, I don't want anybody getting in my, you know, looking through my old emails and texts. And I'm like, well, I've got about 10 of them of you in a laundry basket that you don't want to get out there.
That you probably don't want circulating. Yeah. Be my guess. That laundry basket thing was pretty interesting.
Yeah. All right.
Hey, I just wanted to continue on some of these thoughts. Utah, Arizona State, Scotty.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, man. I've just got a million thoughts with this game. But I have a feeling that the Arizona State defensive coordinating staff is spending extra time in film room right now because I think offensively they saw quite a bit against USC that they might have seen in 2019. They hadn't seen to this point in the season. But they also saw things that I think may be a little bit concerning to them. Number one, Tavian Thomas. They've been watching film, and they've seen different running backs throughout the season be okay and just do okay. They probably saw some of Tavian Thomas before last week's game and thought, he's really good, but obviously he's not being used. They watched this USC game, and they instantly thought to themselves, all right, we might have a problem on our hands. We don't know a ton about this guy, but what we just saw was impressive. He held on to the ball. He had some big runs, some big gashing runs. He broke some big tackles. And Tavian Thomas might be an issue for us. So Arizona State's defensive staff, looking at that. Number two, I think that their defensive staff is looking at Cam Rising if he's got a clean pocket. Now, I don't think that the pocket will be as clean against Arizona State as it was against USC, but I think they saw that Cam Rising is an overly capable quarterback when he has a chance to throw the ball. So I think that they're looking at Cam Rising thinking to themselves, all right, well, this might be a growing concern. And then number three, just a little bit more with the playbook. Now, whether it was Andy Ludwig or it was Cam Rising, you had the flea flicker at the end of the half on a 4th-and-1. You had the beautiful H-back fly sweep end around on a play in the first half to Brent Keithy. You had multiple zone read looks. And it's really tough to know exactly what an RPO is and what an RPO isn't. Sometimes an RPO is really covered up as, well, that was just a planned run. Yeah. But I believe that when I was watching film, I believed that I was seeing some RPO work because I was watching the offensive line vacate a little bit early on some run stuff or some pass stuff. So I thought, okay, there's probably some RPOs that are being run there with Cam Rising. And I think that Cam Rising is a great candidate out of a quarterback to run some of those run pass option plays. So I think that they're looking at the playbook in depth a little bit more, saying the offensive play calling looked different than it had in the first 4 weeks. So I think Arizona State's got their plate full reviewing Utah film, thinking to themselves, wow, I think this is a better offense than what we've seen. And I do believe that it's a better offense than what we've seen. If Cam Rising can play a complete game, if Tavian Thomas can be your 24 to 26 carry per game back, and if your offensive line isn't having mental breakdowns, you know what you're getting from your tight ends.
Correct.
Your wide receivers, I mean, just get in route and the distribution will be there. We saw that last week. And I think that Arizona State's up for it a little bit.
My message would be, Andy Ludwig, what you did against USC, keep it going. I thought they were vanilla against BYU. I think they were overly uninspired creatively against BYU and against San Diego State. Open up that offense. You've got tight ends. Use them. You got Keithy on a fly sweep. Use him. You got Cam Rising who can get outside the pocket. Use him. Tavian Thomas with some confidence. Use him, but don't go back into a shell offensively. Show some aggression. This is a team that this is a really aggressive defense. Use that aggression against them. Fly sweep, fake fly sweep. I go back to the conversation Dylan Colley had with DJ and PK earlier in the week, where he talked about, man, they ran so many fake fly sweeps to me. I was running sideline to sideline all the time, but there was a purpose to it because it opened up the running game on on the slip dive. There were so many things that they were able to do out of it because of the misdirection. Have some fun offensively. Let these guys cut it loose and let's go.
I agree, man. I'd love to continue to see that offensive creativity, and I think that they're going to have it to beat Arizona State. I think that, you know, Arizona State right now, they're giving up about 116 yards per game on the ground, and they've played a couple of solid ground games.
It's not a lot.
Yeah, they've played a couple of solid rushing teams. You know, last week they played against Stanford, and I'm going to tell you right now, Stanford is more capable than having 13 yards on the ground. Stanford had 13 rushing yards.
Wow.
Against Arizona State.
And that's, I mean, look, that's Stanford's bread and butter. Line you up and go at you in the running game.
Well, usually it definitely feels that way. They had 13 yards on the ground against Stanford. Oof. They played Oregon the week before and had nearly 130 yards on the ground. And then they go play Arizona State and they got 13. So Arizona State, I feel like they've got the personnel that's capable of saying, well, what's our problem area? What's the biggest concern? Well, let's try to slow that concern down. So you know what that leads to, Scotty? That leads to a coordinator having to be a little bit creative and also be thinking on the fly and thinking to myself, okay, so I feel good with Tavian Thomas. I feel good coming out of the USC game that we can get a little rushing going. But if we don't, this is what I've got to do. And I'm talking about inside the first drive. Let's say your first drive is a 10-yard or is a 10-play drive. Inside that first drive, you're shut down a little bit. You got to know that Arizona State's capable of doing this all game long. In your mind, you can't be like, well, they've just gotten lucky here. They're capable of doing it all game long. So I'd like to see something out of the box. All right, so they want to just shut down the gates, and they want to make sure that they're stopping the run. Let Cam Rising throw those hard, deep fakes and roll out on some bootlegs and have some quick drop-offs to the tight ends, because I don't think Arizona State has defensive personnel that can absolutely match up with those three tight ends.
No, I don't think anybody in the country does.
I don't think they do. So get some of those beautiful, deep play-action fakes, really force those linebackers to make some level of commitment based off keys and reads, and then get the boot going a little bit with Cam Rising. He's good with that. And Cam Rising, let's say things shut down, then go use your feet and get me 3 yards. Go use your feet, give me 3 yards. Keep your body healthy, but you can do that on a some heavy bootleg play action look that is forcing Arizona State down. You don't hold Stanford to 13 yards without making some level of commitment to the run.
No.
13 yards, 13 yards. Stanford.
That's a scary number right there.
So I know that Arizona State has...
If it's 13 against Arizona, that's one thing, but 13 against Stanford...
That's another thing.
That's different. All right, 1046, Hans and Scotty. This is 97.5, 1280 The Zone. Good friend of ours, Brian Fisher, will join us coming up at 11:05. Obviously, we love talking college football with him, but he can also go NFL, and we'll talk about the Gruden emails and his thoughts on that as well. It's all straight ahead right here on The Zone Sports Network.
Win, win, win.
It's a win ticket Wednesday on the Zone Sports Network. It's a win ticket Wednesday right here.
Win.
Listen all day for the win ticket Wednesday sounder for your chance to win tickets.
What? Who authorized that?
To all the biggest concerts, games, and other great events here in the state of Utah. It's a win ticket Wednesday right here.
Right here.
Right here.
Right here.
Woo! On 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network.
97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. Hans and Scotty, what you may have missed right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone. By the way, let's see here. The Pac-12 has released its preseason media poll. UCLA, which made the big run in the tournament last year, this is basketball, by the way, picked to finish first with 32 first-place votes. Oregon got the other two first-place votes. They finished second. Then USC, Arizona, Oregon State tied for fourth, Colorado sixth,
wow.
Arizona State seventh,
oh geez,
Washington State eighth,
oh good grief,
Stanford ninth, and coming in at number 10, Utah.
Well, good thing it's not the Pac-10 anymore.
That's good, because you do have Washington, you do have Washington and Cal that are behind you.
Craig Smith's going to surprise the people.
I believe. That Craig Smith and the Aggies were picked to finish 10th his first year, and then they went on to win
the conference. They were 10th the year.
I'm going to need to look at it, but it was 10th. Yeah.
Well, this is perfect positioning for Craig. I think that he is looking at this with a chip on his shoulder. He'll get a chip on his players' shoulders, and I could see him just rising to this. I think he wants to be under the radar a bit.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I don't think he's a front runner type coach. Is he?
Nope. He's a guy that I think he enjoys being the
The guy building a program.
Yep.
Building a program, catching people off guard, surprising people, underselling and over delivering. But he is a personality. We got to get him on soon. We need to catch up with him.
Oh, I was close. They were picked to finish ninth that year.
Which is really, yeah.
So.
And they go on and win the
and
conference.
And they went on to win the
good
conference.
I like it. I hope that the Pac-12 has a nice basketball season. I hope the conference is stronger than their football is currently looking. They don't just feast off each other. I hope they have three or four dominant programs, and then I hope that they're able to sneak in five, maybe six bids. That'd be nice. And I hope Utah can position themselves, because I really want to see this program rebuild and have some success. You know, if anybody can do it, it's going to be Coach Smith. He can do it.
And I will be the first to admit that I'm a little biased when it comes to Craig Smith, just because, I mean, he and I, you know, you get tied to the hip when you're the radio dude and you're interviewing a guy 3 to 4 times a week and you're traveling with the team, and just knowing how he operates and knowing how Eric Peterson runs things as an assistant coach. Like, I think if you're a Utah fan, you're in good hands right now. Now, will his style translate to the Pac-12? Will his recruiting translate to the Pac-12? I think so.
His energy, it translates anywhere.
Yeah. Will his message translate with Pac-12 players? I think so. But all I know is what I've seen in the last 3 years, where that basketball program was, what he took over. And you can say, well, you had Sam Merrill and Namish Keita. He inherited Sam. And Sam Merrill was part of a team that wasn't great. And they had Kobe McEwen, which was a really good player. And that team was not good in Mountain West Conference play. Craig Smith comes over. He recruits and brings in Namish Keita. And in his first year, they win the conference. They finish tied for first place in the conference regular season, and he wins a conference tournament.
One of the most important aspects of Craig Smith, in my opinion, is something that Utah fans are just sick of, and they need to see something change, and that is being able to retain players on a roster.
Yeah.
And we talk about Namish Keita. Well, Keita was on his way out, and Craig Smith was able to salvage that and got Namish Keita back on the court, kept him in the program. We just didn't see a lot of players leave that program. There were some.
You'll always have a little attrition.
There were a few.
But there were never any star major contributor players.
And that's what Utah fans want to see stop. They want to see the leaks stop. Wherever those guys are going and wherever they're leaving, stop. How is it that a Pac-12 team with pageantry, history, all kinds of pageantry and history in the NCAA tournament and in college basketball, how is it that those guys were just leaving? Every year you could count on 4 to 5 guys leaving. That was really the biggest red check mark that I had against Larry Kraskobiak. Other than that, I thought he was a heck of a coach.
Yeah, I did too.
We saw him develop some big men, and we saw him put players into the NBA. And I know that they didn't ever hit the peak in Pac-12 competition that I think a lot of Utah fans wanted. But we saw a lot of good things from Larry Kraskobiak. But the one thing we didn't see was player retention. And that is where Craig Smith has to come in and make his bread. I've got two other things that I wanted to hit and what you may have missed, Scotty. And then I might have to save them. Do we have something we got to roll on to?
We got Brian Fisher, but we got about a couple minutes here.
Well, I put out a poll question about the Utah Jazz and their transition for color and style. Did you see the poll question?
Yeah. It's very simple. I did not see the results, though.
Just says, are you excited to see a Utah Jazz color and style rebranding? Because we just saw the Jazz note that's out front of the Vivint Arena changed from the yellow and blue and green. Or was it yellow, purple, green?
Yeah.
And we have seen the entire thing go black now. Black and white. Black base with white stripes. And then we saw the schedule release that had yellow squares with black and white squares. So I think people are kind of reading into that, saying, oh, maybe this is an indicator. So I just asked, are you excited to see the Utah Jazz color and style rebranding? I've got yes, love, change, no, stay traditional, and I don't care, just win. Right now, I don't care, just win is leading the vote. We've got 1,500 votes in with 44% saying I don't care, just win.
I'm glad you put that option on there too, because that's kind of where I fall in. But then again, I'm, you know, 44-year-old dude that doesn't really get caught up in that stuff. A lot of people are uber passionate about this.
I'm very much in the I don't care.
Yeah.
Just win. Doesn't matter to me what you're wearing. Just go win. If you don't win, then nobody's interested. Doesn't matter what your gear looks like. If you don't win, not as many people are going to buy your gear. doesn't matter what your gear looks like. So if you're trying to make a transition to improve sales and apparel sales and the interest in that, if you don't win, it doesn't matter. 29% of the vote saying no, stay traditional. And trailing in the three options is yes, love the change with 27% of the vote. So I don't care, just win. Currently leading 44%. No, stay traditional, 29%. Yes, love the change at 27%. That's where you're at with those.
The thing with the traditional is, and I think this is why a lot of these guys are taking a look at this thing, is like, what is traditional? Because the Jazz have about 15 different colors that could fall under the traditional bandwagon. I think what they're trying to do, and this is just me speculating, is like, look, let's just clean all this up, and here are our colors, and this is what we have going forward. And sure, we'll have some throwbacks here and there, but right now, this is what we got, this is what we're sticking with, and we're going to really hone in on that. And really, instead of having 16 different colors you can choose from over the last 10 years, this is what we're dialed in with. All right, Hans and Scotty live here at Tim Daly Nissan in Murray, 4528 South State Street. Come on by, grab some Jazz gear. Let's go. Let's have some fun. Also, check out these vehicles priced to move right here on the Zone Sports Network.